You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, everybody, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And if you ever catch any of those Mark Dice videos, you'll see what I mean by enslaved minds. We still have a lot of work to do, but the country is waking up. My name's Dave Hodges. I am your host, and we come to you live every Sunday evening at this time from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, and we're really, really glad to be with you. Thanks to Joe Hagman from the Hagman and Hagman Report. What a great, great show they have. Joe's terrific as always, and I'll post on my website when Joe and I are going to do a follow-up interview. He's got to finish some investigation. We were talking about it during the break. And I almost forgot my manners, and I mentioned it, oh, by the way. My thanks go out to the good people at MTV and the producer Stephanie Liu and Waka Flocka, a rapper who also has his own talk radio network. And you're probably thinking, Dave, aren't you a little old to be interviewed by rappers? Who do you think the kids listen to? A lot of these kids love this music, and if we're going to turn this country around, we need to involve the young adults, the millennials. And they showed that they don't like the system by supporting Bernie Sanders. Karl Marx is not the answer, as Bernie was promoting. However, it showed me that I'm not wasting my time, and Waka Flocka said he wants to pick up my show on his radio network. And he and I realize, as we're talking about this, we may come from, he's left, I'm right, and we know that. But he realizes that we got a lot in common because we got some bad, bad people running the show into the deep state and all the things that Joe and I talked about in the first hour. Before we join our next guest, Mike Adams, Natural News, the health ranger, you know, really an all-star in our profession. And he's going to reveal some very, very disturbing things that have been happening to he and Alex Jones, and we'll take it from there. It's very disturbing stuff. But I just wanted to mention to you with the crap, the nonsense, the violence, what the other side is going to do. Not our side. Not the good people that listen to this show. Not the people that follow Mike Adams. But the far left, whose idea of change is revolution. They're going to cut the food supply off. They're going to probably cut your power off. The banks are going to go down at least for a while, maybe permanently. Are you prepared? Food, water, gold, guns, and ammo. And I want to mention to you that I can help you with the food. Numana.com/Hodges. In fact, our next guest, Mike Adams, what a great investigative report he produced on Numana. And they beat the competition by a mile. And the health ranger says it's real. That's good enough for me. And I'm so happy to be representing Numana. Numana.com/Hodges. And don't forget, for our listening audience, get 5% off. The coupon code is Hodges, NOV5. And really proud to be associated with such great, honorable people who look at what they're doing as a mission, not just a profit. And, of course, they've got to make money. But they are very much a mission for them. So that's the biggest thing I wanted to mention going into this interview with Mike, because Mike's going to get some areas that are very disturbing. One more thing, too, is I wanted to mention again my friend Bob Griswold over at ReadyMadeResources.com. International security background. He gives free seminars. He'll do it for you over the phone or by Skype. And in terms of homesteading or relocating, bugging out. And if you want night vision from his site, use my name as the coupon code, Hodges, and you can take $75 off with a store credit, and you can get a hold of Bob tonight, 800 800-627-3809. 800-627-3809. Well, that kind of wraps up the business. You know, we have more to talk about with the great people that helped make this show possible. But I don't want to waste any more time. I want to get right to my friend Mike Adams, Natural News, who is got a plethora of stuff. We're going to ask Mike to talk about that before he leaves us. Stuff that can help you as well. Mike, welcome to the show. There's so much going on, it's almost hard to know where to start.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's great to join you again. Very excited to be able to speak to your audience again tonight. Yeah, it's a whirlwind of activity. Where do you even want to begin?
I'm really disturbed when I read your article on naturalnews.com. I'm very disturbed by the fact that someone tried, or a group tried, to blackmail you into destroying Alex Jones's reputation. It shows you just how dirty things are getting. So let's start there and talk about that for a minute.
Okay. I went public with that because I did not want them to be able to work in the darkness. And so, yeah, I have been threatened. Now this is the second wave of this threat, and I decided to go public with it. And basically the threat was very simple. They handed me, years ago, a bunch of what would have been dirt at the time, but is now no longer dirt, on Alex Jones, and they demanded that I go public with it and destroy and denounce Alex Jones, or they were going to destroy me. That threat was reinitiated in the last week in a much more aggressive way, where they implied that I was going to be hit with a massive barrage of mainstream media attacks that I assume are on the way now, because I've told them, you know, come and take it, basically. You know, forget you. I'm not going to play your silly little game. I'm not going to be part of some kind of inside betrayal effort to rip apart the Patriot, you know, news leaders. So I just refuse. Completely refuse. We got to stand together. You know, we may have slightly different views, all of us. We may be slightly in competition with each other on products or what have you. But you know what? We all stand for the same basic principles of liberty and telling the truth and exposing the corruption. And no one's going to be able to just come along and intimidate me into abandoning my principles and destroying someone else who's doing good work. It's just not going to happen. So I don't know what's coming, but it's going to be vicious.
Well, not if we all band together, because, first of all, Mike, you're in a good position because you have a reputation where I can't find anyone who ever says anything bad about you. And I'm talking, your name comes up in a discussion I have with Steve Quayle or Doug Hagman or Ted Brewer, they're glowing in their comments about you. So I think you've got that working for you. The other thing is, too, is if this starts, you know the full force of the independent media is going to come back at whoever is doing this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I've had such an outpouring of support from so many people across independent media because of going public with that. You wouldn't believe the private messages that I'm getting, people who have my phone number and or my Skype address and so on. Many, many people coming out and saying, you know, how can we help? How can we stand with you in defense of the new media? You got to understand that the old media is dying. They are almost extinct. They're sort of like a cornered, wounded, vicious, feral cat. The new media is where everybody's going, right? I mean, who trusts CNN anymore? Who trusts Media Matters anymore? And now Obama's building this new army, this Organizing for America, the OFA. He's training, I think, 30,000 plus people to be a new lynch mob, sort of the left-wing brown shirts, you might say, to rise up. And I believe that the threats that have targeted me have come from people linked directly to Obama. I think Natural News is on the target list, as are you, Dave, as is Alex Jones and InfoWars. And I've seen, I'm not even going to give any attention to it, but I've seen certain people that are sort of minor voices in the industry. I've seen some of them turn now. And by the way, I was offered $50,000 to turn against Alex Jones. $50,000. I mean, in the big picture, it's not a lot of money. But it's still, it's an indication of the kind of desperation that the opposition has. If they're trying to run around throwing cash at people like that to, say, destroy Alex Jones, or who knows who they're going to target next, destroy, you know, Breitbart or whoever, then what does that say about what they're willing to do next?
Let me share with you a little anecdote here, and this comes from my friend Joshua Coy, who's a talk show host at WYDE 101 FM in Birmingham, Alabama. They're in four states, huge, huge station, biggest one in that four-state region. And he has a really terrific talk show on Saturday nights. And he was on something called the Deep Web, and he told me I'll never go back there again. And, of course, he doesn't use his own computer. But he told me he read about several of us on the Deep Web, and he called me really, really freaked out. And this is about, it was right after Trump was elected, and he said, Dave, I read your name on the Deep Web, the Dark Web, and I had to have him explain. I'm kind of familiar with it. I'm a lot more familiar with it now that I'm there. I looked into it.
Yeah.
And he said, you're mentioned as a talk show host that can't be compromised. And I said, well, that's nice. And they go, well, he has pretty good sources. We don't think we can turn him with a bribe, so we'll just have to do Boston Breaks against him. And Boston Breaks is when they electronically take control of your car and crash it.
Oh,
you
really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Listen, Josh and I are old friends. We go back now. And we've done stories together. We've done investigations together. This is like my first cousin telling me this.
Uh-huh.
And he was literally freaked out. If I'd have seen his face, he'd probably have been white as a ghost. That is the depth that they're going to now. And they mentioned other people in there, too, that they wanted to off. Now, I won't go to the dark web personally because you can be linked into child sex trafficking and pornography. They can attach it right to your link, and then the police show up at your door.
Well, I've never visited the dark web, but like you, I've read stories about it. What was it, the Silk Road, where people can hire assassins and pay them in Bitcoin and things like that. I've read those kinds of. We've covered some of those stories. But, look, nothing surprises me anymore because the left, it's not just the left, it's the globalist, communist-influenced left. It's the fascists of the world. They've reached a point of desperation. I mean, Trump he's unleashed a revolution against them. And the new media is succeeding in ways that the left never anticipated. And everything is turning against them, so they're desperate. I mean, remember when the Washington Post said that my site and 200 others were all Russian propaganda? They ran that fake news.
Oh, yeah.
Now it comes out the Washington Post has just been caught taking money from Russia to publish propaganda. This was on Tucker Carlson on Fox News. So the Washington Post is actually taking money to push Russian propaganda. Everything. They invented the term fake news. Now it's all been turned around on them. Trump is nailing them for fake news and very fake news every day. And the media is going insane. And so all they can do is threaten us and try to intimidate us. I got to tell you, Dave, we win unless we agree to surrender. All of this fear and intimidation stuff, this is to try to convince you to give in. It's all illusions. You're just walking down a path, and it's like these illusions that are being projected all around you and in your head to try to scare you and try to stop you and try to demoralize you. If you just wave away all those illusions and keep moving forward, you win. That's all we got to do.
I agree with you, but there's a variable, an intervening variable that comes in there between that stimulus and that response, and that's the false flags they're going to pull.
Oh,
and
they are.
It sounds like they're setting you up for a personal false flag attack, as well as Alex. And they don't know what they're getting into, because I'll tell you, I don't know anybody, Mike, in this business that won't come to your defense. And we see Alex being attacked, we're going to come to his defense, because that's what we do. We realize what's at stake here.
I'm glad
the Washington
you mentioned...
Post, let me, go ahead, Mike.
Sure, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's another anecdote, and I did a podcast on this last night. It was released this morning about the Washington Post and Bezos. A lot of people know that the Washington Post has a couple of business dealings with the CIA. And here the CIA, we know, leaked the... General Flynn information. That means they spied on a private citizen and committed felonies, and people inside the CIA should be going to prison. Well, the Washington Post is a partner in that kind of crime. They are now being exposed for the fact that they have a $600 million deal with the CIA and 16 other intelligence agencies. How can you believe anything they say when they have this kind of an arrangement? You want to talk about fake news?
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes way, way deeper than that. You know, the sinister nature of the fake news media, they've infiltrated, well, they're told exactly what to do by the vaccine industry, too, for example. The complete blacklisting of anyone who speaks out against mercury in vaccines or vaccine-damaged children, you name it. But I wanted to get back to your false flag comment because there's something very important that I've come to realize. You know, we're really heading toward the escalation of a possible civil war. And I've really looked at this issue quite heavily. And I've come to realize that a lot of what the left is doing is trying to bait either Trump supporters or the Trump administration into overreacting or shooting first. And I've come to a slogan that is about this new civil war: whoever shoots first loses. So if the left does all the violence first or starts bombing buildings and gets caught, they lose. They lose the moral high ground. But if they can frame the right or Second Amendment people or patriots or Trump supporters, if they can stage a false flag shooting that they can portray, you know, via CNN as being done by Trump supporters, then they can seize the moral high ground and claim that it's the Trump people that need to be overthrown or arrested or Trump needs to resign and so on. So don't put it past these people. I mean, I know you know this, but I think that they can very easily stage a very convincing false flag shooting of left-wing protesters so they can blame Trump supporters.
I agree. I have said the same thing. I don't know if I've said it publicly, but I have said it to colleagues that I expected them to do things to themselves. In other words, Black Lives Matter is protesting. Someone drives down the street with a machine gun and shoots everybody, and they set up a patsy to get arrested, and he's wearing a Trump hat, Make America Great
yep.
Again. That's the kind of thing I expect.
Exactly. Now, remember that the left is really invested in the victimology, and they are cry bullies. The term is very useful because they are instigating the violence, for example, in Berkeley against Milo Yiannopoulos or others. They instigate the violence, but then they claim to be victims when there is a response to the violence. And so I think a lot of what they're doing right now, why would Obama be training instigators? Why? What is their goal? Their goal is to bait President Trump into an aggressive reaction where he declares martial law or he calls out the National Guard or even all of us start begging for some kind of controls because the cities are breaking down into chaos and looting and riots and arson. And then as soon as that happens, as soon as Trump has a response, the left screams, "We're the victims." You know, just as they're doing now with when feds are arresting illegal immigrants who are like MS-13 gang members, just arresting gang members now, It results in marches against the evil Trump Hitler. You know, it's insane.
Yeah, you're right.
They're going to play the victim.
You're absolutely right. You know, I had a conversation with a black man the other day, and I had stopped into a basketball game to see a friend's daughter play briefly. I watched about a quarter and left, and I sat next to the man, and we started talking, and he said, "You seem like such a reasonable man." And we were talking about school and education and the future of our country. And he said, "Let me ask you who you voted for." And I looked at him and I said, "Trump." And he looks at me and he said, "And you are so reasonable. You are so calm in your approach." He said, "How could you vote for Trump?" And I looked at him and I say, "Forget the rough around the edges. He wants to have a job for your daughter to go to."
Good point.
And you should have seen the look on his face. It was like, holy crap. And it made him withdraw and think. And this is one thing I think we all need to put out to everybody. We need to reach out to everybody, young and old and black and white and brown and Muslims and Christians and atheists. Because at the end of the day, although they try to pit one group against another, they want to reduce this population by 90%. That's their end game. And I don't care what your background is, we are all in this together, whether we realize it or not.
It's so bizarre. Every time I'm on your show, you and I are on the exact same wavelength. I literally posted 5 minutes before I went live on your show. I posted an article about this very topic on Natural News. And it just says that we're on Team Humanity. I welcome and support African Americans. I support anybody of any religion, any sexual orientation, as long as you're pro-liberty. If you oppose the globalists and you oppose the depopulation agenda and the mass poisoning and the tyranny, then I'm with you. You know, this is Team Humanity. They want to divide us. They want to make us pit black against white and Christian against Muslim and so on. They want to divide us and incite hatred and racial violence and then play the victims. That's how they win, the globalists. But we, the people, win when we realize who is our common enemy. Our common enemy is not the African-American guy down the street. You know, it's not the atheist next door. Our common enemy is the globalist that wants to enslave or destroy or poison us all. And that's when we really get on the path to victories, when we realize how they are trying to divide us and why we have to have so much, we have to, you know, be open-minded enough to recognize that we have so much in common with our fellow man or woman or person, that we are on Team Humanity. That's how we win this fight.
You're absolutely right, and I don't know why more people aren't stepping back and seeing this. And we're all guilty from all different backgrounds of closing in and defending our own. But I'll tell you the rallying point that people are using against Trump that's defending us, where Muslims from seven countries can't come in unless they're screened and vetted. And if I were to make a suggestion to President Trump, I would say it's every immigrant that needs to be vetted. We don't know if you're an immigrant coming here just to become a good American and have a better life for your family, or are you ISIS and you want to kill our kids at school? And he needs to do a better job of, I think, explaining this isn't just about Muslims. This is about anyone that wants to do us harm.
I completely agree, and I've got a question for you on this. You've seen the resistance inside the bureaucracy against Trump. If you don't mind me asking you a question, how long do you think that this is going to go on before Trump's appointees manage to clean house in many of these agencies? I mean, are we looking at 6 months or a year of this treason inside the bureaucracy?
After Reagan was shot, and he had problems with appointees to begin with, beginning with H.W. Bush, but after he was shot, the White House turned commie. It turned globalist. And it's been a march forward ever since. And there's been nothing to turn it back. And so we're looking at treating someone now in stage 4 cancer. This is the analogy that I make. In fact, I told the story in the first hour about a State Department employee, and I think she's a GS aide, if I'm not mistaken. And they're trying to railroad her out of her job for putting a picture of Trump in her cubicle, the commander-in-chief.
Really?
And they're all Democrats. They're all pro-Clinton. They've all violated the Hatch Act after the election, trying to get the election overturned with petitions.
Yeah.
And this is how far the swamp has risen to. It's engulfed our federal agencies, where the rank and file are, it's like the movie, Mike, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. We went to sleep and we woke up and 99% of us are now filled with alien spores and we've lost control. I mean, that's just what it's like.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, The Swamp Strikes Back.
That's a good title for an article. We'll see who beats who to it. If I use that, I'll have to check and see if you beat me to it.
Oh, I don't think I made that up. I think I heard that or read that somewhere already. But
oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
The swamp. Yeah, I think I did. I also, someone told me a great term, that Trump is trying to turn America into a basket of employables. That's a good phrase.
Oh, I love
that. So we all have jobs. Yeah, we need to be a basket of employables.
From deplorable to employable. I like that.
Exactly, yes.
Well, he is doing what he promised. Now, I'm impatient, you know, and isn't doing it quite as fast as I'd like. I mean, honestly, Mike, it's so bad in the State Department. It's so bad in the FBI. And I know people inside these agencies who are talking to me, and not just Monica. He needs to demand the resignation of everybody, and they need to go through a rehiring. And he needs to go department by department. Today, we're firing this department. Reapply. Put your resume. We'll look at it. We'll interview you. We'll make a decision the day after.
Yeah,
they need
clean
to do
house,
this now.
Start
and
over.
I don't care if they turn out 50,000 people. I don't care if they call him McCarthy, Joseph McCarthy reincarnate. I don't care. It's the French Bastille. Off with their heads. I don't care what the left says. These people have to be gone or he can't govern.
And he's got the executive power to do things like that. That's well within his domain. He can fire entire departments and then rehire them rehire the ones that he approves of, like you said. But you're right. It's endemic in the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy exists in most places only to grow its own size, kind of like a cancer tumor. I've talked about Trump being Dr. Trump, and how does he excise this cancer tumor, you know, without the cancer overtaking and killing the patient, which is the nation, in the process.
Yeah, it's a really, really good point. The thing that really bothers me, you have this Kerry O'Grady, the Secret Service agent that served for 3 months after she said she wouldn't do her job and protect Trump.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She was allowed to stay as the director of the Denver Secret Service. This is what I'm talking about. This is the deep state that's surfaced. And there was an incident, Mike, 2 days ago or yesterday? I forget which now, but I wrote about it last night. And two rocks were thrown at Trump's limousine and struck it in Florida. Mm. And I'm thinking, where are the walkthroughs? Where are the people protecting against people that could get close enough to a moving vehicle with the president in it and do that? It could have been a hand grenade, or I don't know how bulletproof or explosion-proof his limo is. And I look at this and I'm thinking, this is John Kennedy, Dealey Plaza, where the Secret Service didn't do their job. And I'm real, and this is where the deep state is the most dangerous. He needs to start with the Secret Service, clean house. That's number one. Because
well, at least he's not driving around with an open top convertible. You know, I mean, I'm sure that limo is rock proof and bulletproof for most rounds. But you're right. I mean, but hasn't Trump used a lot of his own private security people that he's worked with for years for that very reason?
But how long can you sustain that? And ultimately, you need to have security bill tie into the other agencies because they work so closely hand in hand with each other. So this private security thing is, I think, a temporary stopgap measure, but he needs to move right now. I mean, this is, I would go to the Denver field office because they were run by someone who was committing treason with her statements. Mm-hmm. And they need to fire everybody there, every secretary, every janitor, every agent, and say, reapply. We're going to give you a lie detector. We're going to put you through the whole ringer here, and they need to go where the hot spots are and just turn these people out right now, today.
I completely agree, and even accomplishing that, though, requires a lot of staffers who are loyal to your administration. So you've got to have a lot of people to go out into the field and do those things and run those offices and do the firing and the rehiring and run the lie detector tests and all of that. So he's got to grow this thing from some loyalists who can find other loyalists and keep replicating that model down through the bureaucracy. It's going to take, in my view, it's going to take, frankly, a couple of years to even get close to something where he can announce an order and believe that it's going to be carried out as he wanted it carried out. And there are always going to be elements, factions inside the bureaucracy that are seeking to sabotage him no matter what. Even if some of them will go to prison, by the way. I believe that Trump will arrest and charge some of these whistleblowers. I mean, Obama charged hundreds of federal whistleblowers with crimes, high crimes. Trump is going to do the same, but he's going to be arresting the traitors, the pro-Obama traitors who are trying to bring down the Trump administration.
Well, they need to, but he's not moving fast enough in my estimation, and I realize you have to have a number of people to be able to do that, but he needs to make this domestic priority one, because he's already lost a qualified and competent national security advisor.
Yes. And he didn't have to fire Flynn. I mean, that was completely bogus. That whole situation was bogus.
I wouldn't have fired him. And I don't trust Pence, that Pence was lied to. Pence is a globalist. He's been for free trade. He's been for Obamacare, for Common Core. You know, and I brought this up before. This is nothing new out of the closet, folks. I objected when they named him. And now we're looking at the fact that we're relying on Pence's word that Flynn did not tell him something that maybe he should have told him.
Good point.
And there's no other way to verify. So Trump was put into a corner. Do I back my vice president or do I back Flynn? Well, knowing that Flynn's a globalist, I know what I would have done. And I know it would have been political capital used against him. But you can't let the other side get cheap victories like this.
Exactly.
They took out a valuable piece.
It. They scalped Flynn, and now they realize they can do it to somebody else. So the question is, who are they targeting next, right? And because the NSA can now share that gathered intelligence with 16 other agencies, I think, because of an order Obama signed in his last week in office, it means that even White House conversations, staffer conversations with counterparts around the world are no longer safe from being leaked by traitors inside the bureaucracy. So they're going to go after Bannon. They're going to go after Stephen Miller. They're going to go after every high-level cabinet position person. They're going to go after Pruitt, now confirmed for the EPA, and so on. It's an all-out war. And, you know, God forbid, if they somehow manage to take out Trump, then we're in grave danger. I mean, we're in a very precarious situation as a nation right now. Trump is about the only thing standing between us and the end of America. And most Trump supporters know that. It's very precarious.
I'll go one step further.
It can change in a moment.
From my perspective, Trump is standing between me and either execution or a FEMA camp.
Yeah, it could be. Yes. Yes. Well, you know what would
happen.
That's
the paradigm I'm operating under.
Yep.
And because if Pence gets in, we're going to veer right back to the left.
Well, let's make sure that doesn't happen. Let's help keep Trump safe, and let's take the victory that we have, the election victory that we have, and just keep moving forward. Like I say, this is why it's important that the new media is not intimidated into silence or betrayals or anything like that. So keep doing what you're doing, Dave, and I'll keep doing my part, and all of us are fighting for America every day.
Well, you think that we're headed towards a civil war, and we touched on the false flag component of it. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
How do you see this unraveling to where we're actually taking up arms and it's organized?
I've done a lot of analysis on this, and so I've thought about this deeply. I believe that the left will initiate this with a false flag trigger, so that they will stage, with the help of the media, CNN in particular, and elements inside the CIA, perhaps, or, you know, rogue elements inside the intelligence community. So they'll stage a mass shooting of either Black Lives Matter or left-wing rioters in some way. They'll blame it on right-wingers, and then this will initiate the mass uprisings and riots in the cities all across America. Now, especially California, I believe. California is going to be the headquarters of the anti-Trump resistance, especially Los Angeles, under Comrade Jerry Brown. And I think that where this could go is that Jerry Brown could then basically announce that he's going to use National Guard elements of California to engage in kinetic resistance of federal forces that Trump would order to quell the riots in places like Los Angeles and Oakland and, you know, so other big cities. So I see California as really a front line area of the kinetic confrontation, and I see Jerry Brown not only actively fighting against Trump and his administration, but possibly even declaring a state emergency or a state of secession, and believe it or not, even welcoming funding for his treasonous war from places like China or Russia. So we could actually end up, if this escalates to quite a degree, we could see California literally becoming a beachhead invasion ground for communist nations that are funding Jerry Brown's civil war with the rest of America. That's I know it sounds extreme, it sounds like that couldn't happen, but that's where I see one possibility if the escalation continues.
Yeah, I'm kind of picking myself up off the floor here, Mike, because I've talked about some things and I've learned other things I've not popularized as well. I'm friends with Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio. In fact, where he broadcasts from, Red State Talk Radio, they pick up our show now, and I have those contacts. Paul has embedded contacts that have been at the Brown Calexit meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking eyewitnesses now, reporting directly to Paul. The cartels are there. They're going to be the ones that carry out the violence that will initiate what you're talking about. The Mexican consulate's been there. Three members of the Obama administration, and this is after the election in the transition period. The Bank of China. You've got Russians that have been there. The Chinese are there. Cinta is there, which is a Chinese military front company that runs solar energy in this country and a lot of those solar energy farms in the Mojave Desert. And they've all been at these meetings. And the plan is to initiate as much violence as possible to try to say, okay, we'll let California go. It's just too much trouble. In fact, it's gone as far, and I have pictures of this on my website, CalExit opened an embassy in Russia.
Yeah, yeah, I'm aware of that.
100% on the money where this is going. The Russians and Chinese
there's
are willing partners in CalExit on this. It's a beachhead for an invasion of the United States.
Well, here's what else I'm predicting. And by the way, I'm going to be launching a series of lectures on this at civilwar.news. So if you don't mind me plugging that web address, it's
civilwar.news.
The additional analysis is that if this escalates to this point, Trump will announce an embargo of many things against California. So there would be an embargo of fuel, an embargo of energy, you know, because California is tied into the grid of neighboring states and so on. There would be quite an embargo. California will then be forced under Jerry Brown to announce the confiscation of guns, ammo, gold, food, and other supplies using the same kind of executive order that Obama signed several years ago, the National Emergency Readiness Order. I forgot exactly what he called it. But Jerry
Brown,
I think
it was Executive Order 3603.
That sounds right. Yes, absolutely. Now, what will happen is there will be factions that are pro-Trump that are stranded inside California who will become the anti-Jerry Brown resistance fighters who are pro-America, you know, pro-Trump, and they are stuck in the state of California under a totalitarian Jerry Brown regime. But these people will be armed. Again, they will be pro-America factions who are pro-Second Amendment. They are armed. They, this is my analysis. I'm not condoning this, okay? This is just my analysis, predictions. They will then run basically the same kind of war of resistance that the French resistance ran in World War II. And what they will be doing will be using demolitions and high explosives to take out things like the Oroville Dam, believe it or not, vulnerable infrastructure in order to occupy Jerry Brown's resources so that he cannot wage war against the federal government. I mean, I can get into all kinds of analysis of this, but you're looking at basically the patterns of history being repeated on a different scale.
Mike, I've had very clear-cut, straightforward discussions with people in Northern California, including Paul Preston, and we've said that what he's doing with the Oroville Dam, by doing nothing, by rescinding the original evacuation order, in placing at least 200,000, maybe as many as 2 million people at risk, those people are part of the, they're not CalExit. They're in an area that wants to be exited from California so they can be free to run their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called the State of Jefferson. And
mm-hmm.
in fact, Yuba City, Eureka, Redding, all these communities that are going to be affected by this are largely right-wing conservative Christian Republicans. And they're pretty well armed. There are a lot of farmers and ranchers. And Jerry Brown, by letting this dam go, and I've avoided politics because I've tried to get him forced into evacuation to save lives as a precaution. The dam may not break. Fine, take the precaution, Jerry. And I've avoided bringing the politics in. But you brought it up. And I'm going to say it right now. Paul Preston, who's as well connected on this as anybody in the country, agrees with us that this Oroville Dam situation is being allowed to fester because it could be a way to eliminate a lot of the resistance to CalExit.
See, that's fascinating, and I just mentioned Oroville Dam as an example, not as a specific, you know, target of the likely factions. But my point was that even as California under Brown would try to resist President Trump and the rest of the nation, that there would be local factions inside California that then try to resist Brown, just like you said. Much of Northern California, much of rural California, they would not sign up for Jerry Brown's, you know, communist regime civil war. They would resist it, and they would fight, especially once Brown announces the confiscation of guns and ammo, which he would very quickly once a federal embargo goes into place. He would have no choice. He would confiscate gold as well. He would have no choice. And he would have to reach out for international funding to fund the California resistance. So it's not difficult to see how this escalates very, very quickly. He might even open the border with Mexico and bring in La Raza forces to fight for the new California secession movement as soldiers under Jerry Brown against federal troops, believe it or not.
Mike,
so
already done. La Raza,
really?
Or as Paul calls them, La Raza, they've been at the meetings too, and they've been the ones advocating for violence along with the cartels.
So my analysis isn't off track then. sounds like you've arrived.
You know,
at the same
it's thing. Interesting because I know we're both going to be putting this out there publicly. You're going to give a vanilla version. I'm going to give the chocolate version, but we're headed in the same direction. I've said the civil war in America will begin in California.
I think so. Yep. Completely agreed.
And here's where it gets real dicey. What do you do with Camp Pendleton and the Miramar Naval Air Station and all these other bases that are in Southern California?
Well, exactly. See, this is where the governor tries to assert his power over the resources that are stationed there. So you're going to have a war of assertion of authority. So the president is going to say, no, these are federal bases. The governor is going to say, I order the California Guard to seize these bases and take control over them. And at that point, it's going to come down to the base commanders, the individual soldiers who are stationed there, to make their decision about which side they're going to serve. And you're going to see a lot of blood and violence if that happens. I mean, again, let us pray and hope that it never comes to this. But it looks like it may. And so we are wise to consider the possibilities and implications here well in advance. But I do believe that Trump has a tremendous amount of power to initiate various economic embargoes against California. But, oh, I forgot to tell you about the card up the sleeve of Jerry Brown, the ace up his sleeve, and it's this. If they can show that Trump's response is aggressive enough, and they can have enough dead people for the TV cameras, Jerry Brown will call for United Nations intervention with so-called peacekeepers. So that's how the left gets the UN to invade Washington, D.C. as peacekeepers to overthrow a tyrannical so-called Trump that is committing, quote, genocide. This is how it'll be portrayed in California. That's
Mike,
the ace up his sleeve.
I got to give a disclaimer here. You and I have not talked about this.
No.
Ever.
Yeah, last time I talked to you was the last interview.
Yeah. Never have we talked about this. When California exits, according to their plan, there will be a protectorate of the United Nations. They'll be governed by the UN. That's the plan.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yep.
Do you sit around in your basement and you're psychic and you just kind of go from person to person and this is incredible. I'm blown away by I mean, if I were to write an article right now today, I would have put probably 85-90% of what you just said.
No, I'm an analyst like you. I mean, we're both students of history. We know that the cycles of history repeat themselves. You know, humanity isn't any different now than it was 1,000 years ago. It's just, it's projecting the patterns of history onto current events. We know that Obama, for example, is raising this army of agitators. We know that he has aims for the United Nations. We know that the peacekeepers have been portrayed by globalist propaganda as being the ones that can come in and create civility in a nation where things are out of control. And then we see the mainstream media laying the groundwork of the narrative to say that Trump is mentally ill and Trump is out of control. This is a playbook for United Nations intervention. That's all it is. And if Jerry Brown initiates the violence and then claims that his people are victims, calls for the United Nations, all they got to do is get George Soros and some other globalists to join the call and have Donald Trump condemned at the United Nations. That's it. That's their plan. It's obvious to me as a student of history.
No, you're right.
That's what it comes from.
And this is what Jade Helm has been about. Let me fill in one more gap here. And this did not come via Paul. It's something I told Paul. I have two contacts who've done things at the Naval War College, and I can't be more specific for obvious reasons. And what they told me is they can predict future trends, not because they're psychic, but because they have computers now that can analyze internet traffic, and they can see where the mood of the country's going. They knew a year ago Donald Trump had a real chance. They knew 6 months ago he was going to get elected. That didn't stop him from trying to stop it. But they knew from the trends, and I've been told that these are fail-safe measures that were already put into place. You know, it's like an algorithm. Step one, step two, and if two doesn't work, you go to 2B, 2C, 2D, yeah. Then you go to 3, and then you do the decision-making flowchart they have. And one of the things I was told was that right now they're doing the vilification in the media, but it's failing. They're doing the riots and the protests, and it's failing. It's actually having a counter effect. And that's actually predicted, but as I was told, that was predictable. The next thing are false flag attacks. Uh-huh. Now, CalExit's scheduled to be voted on in 2 years, but they're talking about moving it up to 2018. So I think we have about a year here, Mike, where this is going to unfold, and between now and a year from now, we can expect to see false flag attacks.
I completely agree. It's the most obvious leverage point for the left. And it's very easy for them to pull off. And we know that CNN has staged false elements of their news reporting. You know, throughout, I mean, they are fake news. They are very fake news, to quote Trump. But they're fake in the sense that they do hire crisis actors to augment events so that they can twist them with their narrative, and they use green screens to fake like they're on location when they're really not. They do a lot of fake news things, so all they really need is a theatrical production that they simply report as true, even if it's false, and then once CNN reports it, then everybody else in the left-wing media simply parrots it, so it becomes Washington Post and New York Times and MSNBC and so on. Once it's circulated around, then it becomes fact in the minds of the left. So what will those facts be? Well, that Trump supporters massacred 25 gay activists, let's say, or lesbians who were marching for peace, or Black Lives Matter peaceful protesters, you name it. It's so easy for them to set this up, and it's so powerful of a narrative once they pull it off that it's really the low-hanging fruit for the narrative of the left. If they don't do a false flag, I'll be astonished. It's the obvious choice for them to carry out their agenda.
Well, I've been told, too, and you couldn't even anticipate this, there'll be an increasing tempo of false flags. In other words, school shootings, mall shootings, blowing up of federal buildings, whatever, and then it's going to be mass. And then yep. I even had this mentioned to me, oh, gosh, a year ago, ISIS doing Tet Offensive. In other words, attacking maybe 50 targets on the same day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And these are the kinds of things we can expect on an escalating scale from what I have learned. This has just gone beyond all reason. See, Mike, I don't believe we're going to get out of this without a fight.
Right.
But if Trump could clean out the deep state and gain full control over the military, the American people have a fighting chance. If we don't have control over our military, we cannot win.
That reminds me. I agree with you, yeah. That also reminds me, by the way, that once this reaches a certain point of out in the open civil war, Trump has the power to seize the website domains of media organizations such as CNN.com. So don't forget that DHS can literally seize media companies. Now, you're obviously going to have all of the threats against free speech. Like, we don't want Obama seizing our websites, right? We would have been screaming bloody murder about that. But what if CNN is responsible for the false flag, you know, took part in it actively, committed acts of treason and sedition against America in an attempt to start a civil war and overthrow the legitimate government? In that case, I think we could see President Trump literally seizing domain names and, like, actually sending in federal troops to the CNN headquarters building, taking it over and saying, this CNN is not just the enemy of the people, as he tweeted on Friday. CNN is a traitorous anti-America organization, and we've arrested these people. We are taking over the media organization. We're going to return it back to the private sector after we root out the traitors. I mean, that's not going to happen tomorrow. I'm not predicting it tomorrow, but I can see things escalating to that point if CNN takes part in a false flag operation against the Trump administration.
Well, the Washington Post will. They're in bed with the CIA.
Clearly they are. Clearly. I can see the same scenario happening with other media outlets if it gets to that point. So, look, everything's on the table at this point. I think in the next 2 years, we're going to see things happen that we wouldn't have even imagined a year ago.
Incredible.
But if you look at the chessboard now and the moves that the different factions have, it's very difficult to see how things remain calm and peaceful and civil for the next 2 years. Very difficult.
Mike, we have 45 seconds for you to tell us about what you're doing. We mentioned naturalnews.com and all the things you got, and we advertise products for you on thecommonsenseshow.com. We're happy to do that. Tell people what you want to know. What they should know about what you do.
We've got real-time breaking news headlines all day long from the entire independent media at censored.news. Just go to censored.news to read that. And I will post an analysis of the Civil War risks very soon at civilwar.news in the next week or two. So thanks for having me on, Dave.
Mike, this has been phenomenal. Scary as heck, but phenomenal. You know, as things occur, and I said this to Joe Hagman last hour as well, too. As things unravel, give me a quick, you know, call, email, Skype message, and we'll jump on for 5 minutes and update people, and I'll air it everywhere. So I want to put that out there for you. So you go, hey, this is something we need to get out there. Hit me up with that. Mike, we're out of time. We got to run. Thanks so much for joining us. Great, great information.
Thank you, Dave. Stay safe.
We'll be back in hour number 3 with Ronnie McMullen and how the medical industry really doesn't want you to overcome life-threatening illnesses. More on that after the break.